The following message is from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information about us, visit livingwatersmn.org.
Well, I want to open up today to, it's funny, Matthew chapter 6 and 7. How many were here for the opening when Tom opened the service this morning? You know, for the second wave, he read the scripture that I wanted to preach out of this morning. But there's a twist, and we never talk about these things. We don't you know, try to arrange a service so that, you know, Tom, it would be sure great if you opened this service with this scripture, because then I'm going to preach on it. We don't do that kind of thing. But can I really be honest with you? In preparing this week, I never got a clear word from the Lord on what to preach. I know I'm a pastor and I'm supposed to have this kind of a connection with God that I just hear that all the time and I never miss it and all this stuff. But, you know, I guess I, to be honest with you, I know there's times where I have a clear word of the Lord. And I have confidence that this is what the body needs to hear. There's other times where God says, you know, Dave, what do you want to share with the body? And I have a freedom to do that. You, right, Bob? You understand this. But there are times where it's like I'm clueless. And it's an opportunity for you to see me have to step out in faith in something that, you know, we always talk about risk as part of the kingdom of God, right? Risk is just part of faith. Faith, you know, if it was just something, if you're just doing the things that are within your ability to do, you are not walking in faith. You know, and God from time to time just calls us to step out of the boat and to do something a little bit differently. So here's the only thing I heard. I got an idea. But I also felt like I heard this. I want the congregation to preach the message this morning. Yeah, so this is your time to take some risk. I really do. I really want to have a dialogue this morning. Monologues are good. Preaching can be good. And there are times for preaching, there's times for monologue. But I tell you, what I really embrace, what I really love is dialogue. What I love is saying something and getting a response and where ideas get intertwined one with another. And that's what I want to do today. Now, how that's going to happen, how that's going to work, I'm clueless. All right, so we're all breaking some new ground here together. But I want to do this. I just want to take a risk, and I want to have some fun this morning. How many of you know we're family? Yeah. Remember I told you you're stuck with me? This is one of those times if you brought somebody to the church, you might be a little bit embarrassed. But, yeah, that's our pastor. but really, I am going to call my lovely assistants, Vanna Weigel, Susie Weigel. And she's going to be the microphone bearer. And so I'm going to read some scripture, and then we're going to just open it up. And I want, really, I want you, as the body of Christ, to process the scripture with me. I've got ideas about what it means and what it looks like and all that, but I want the body of Christ to process together. Is that all right? Okay, so here we go. Matthew chapter 6, and it's verses 25 through 34 is going to be where we kind of launch out, but we're going to go into some other scripture also. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can take and add one cubit to your stature. So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, and what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Two questions that I want to ponder, and I just got them as we were reading. Okay, so I really am kind of flying by the seat of my pants here. The first question is, what is that portion of Scripture saying? Think about that, okay, because you're going to be preaching the message. The second question that I want to ask is, what is that Scripture not saying? Right? What is the Scripture saying? What is it not saying? In context of, think of the context of what Jesus is saying here. This is Jesus' first recorded sermon called the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus came preaching a kingdom that didn't look like the kingdom that they were used to. The kingdom of God was a term that really was not used much in the Old Testament, because what they had their eyes fixed on was the kingdom that was Israel, the kingdom that was centered in Jerusalem. And so when David was building the kingdom of God, it was a physical kingdom that he was building. And that's all that his audience had to reference about God and this kingdom that was, you know, there was heaven up there somewhere, but then there was this other kingdom that was being built, right? So Jesus comes and starts preaching some of the dynamics of another kingdom, and he calls it the kingdom of God. In fact, in chapter 4, it says that he went out preaching and saying, the kingdom of God has come. And then he'd heal the sick. It's like they saw the manifestation of something that he was talking about, but did they have the grid to figure out what in the world is this guy talking about? I don't know that they had the grid for that. And so he starts talking about, it's not a kingdom of how you act, it's a kingdom of how you think. It's not a kingdom of the did you step across the line, it's a kingdom of where is your heart at? Right? And it was a kingdom that just had upside down value systems to it, where the poor are rich and the weak are strong. So this is the context that Jesus is bringing this portion of Scripture. So who's been thinking about those two questions as I've been talking? I've been giving you a little bit of time here because I know it's not fair to just spring it on you. But who's got a thought on what is this Scripture saying in context with what Jesus was preaching about? Susie, do you want to? Heather. Why don't you stand up and face the congregation, because you're preaching.
It's not like a right or wrong answer.
No. No, that's not.
What it means to me is he cares for everything. And how it relates to me in my life is, it's been like 1 week, and it was the first time I've ever been able to say this to my husband. I said, Tom, it was after our friend went to Jesus. I said, Tom, I finally can say it in my heart. I trust the Lord with my kids.
Come on.
I said, before I trusted them, but they were in my hands as I gave them to Jesus, but I didn't take my hands off them. And I, you know, it's like when you give an infant to a two-year-old to hold, you kind of do this. And that's what I, you know, when people would say, what don't you trust with the Lord? Or do you trust your kids with everything? Or do you trust the Lord with everything? I always had a check in my spirit because I knew my kids. do I really trust him with my kids? And it was literally like a week ago I said, I do. I felt, and nobody would know it. It's an inside thing. It was like, I knew I had a shift. I trusted him. And what happens a week later? I mean, it's the enemy. It's like, whoa. He's trying to say, do you trust? Because a week later now, look what's coming. It's like, okay. But if he's going to take care of the birds and all the animals, he's. I don't know how it's going to end up, but he's got it. So that's what it means to me.
Wow. Wow. Thank you. There's a real life sermon right there. Ken. So let's just sum that up a little bit. For you, what Jesus is saying is that you can trust me. You can trust God. You can trust the Father to take care of you, right? Ken.
So I'm not sure if I'm answering your questions, but...
Well, you got to answer the question.
I do?
Yeah.
Well, I'll have to.
No, go ahead.
But what the scripture says, don't worry.
Yeah.
Okay. With that... 2008, I went through, you know, the recession and some things happened, and I came to realize that I was worrying. Couldn't sleep at nights, and so I got in the Word,
good,
and I kept reading the Scripture over and over and
good,
over and over and over and over. I used it like a sword. And it, to be honest with you, it didn't help at first, but I just kept, okay, Lord, say not worry, you know, and I just kind of pray the Scripture through, and, you know, like Heather says, give the Lord things, and just... And just combat worry. And I started to realize that worry opens the door to fear.
Yeah.
So, and you know, it's like the Word of God does something inside of you. And I came to realize my whole life, you know, I think I worry more than I realized back then. I didn't realize, you know, it's like this light started to shine light on darkness in me.
Good.
And the more I got, the Word does the work. Okay, I prayed the best I could, but I got this Word in me, and then it would start to come. Yeah, Lord says, don't, you know, he closed, he takes care of things, you know, and the Scripture would start to come back to me. And then I'd start to realize, my, I worry a lot. I don't realize it. So it's, there was a freedom that came through that season. I don't think I mean, we could all have a problem, and we get concerned. I call it concerned. I'll call it worry. I just disguise it differently. But anyway.
Let me reread.
But the
this.
Word of
Do
God, the Word
concerned.
Of God. Yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah.
No, go ahead.
But the Word of God brought freedom. That's my point.
Yeah.
Okay.
Amen. Good. Good, Ken. Thank you. Another real life sermon. What do you have? Good job, Susie.
She's on the ball, huh? So what I think it does not say...
Well, let's do what it's saying first.
Oh, what it says? Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think perspective is something that's really important in our life. Oftentimes when we come to the Lord, we can be tempted to think, if we come to Jesus, then our life is going to get better.
Yeah.
But... I think all of us know the reality is we still go through difficult times.
Yeah.
And I found in my own life that God, a lot of times when I have a difficult time, it's because I'm not seeing things from the perspective that God has.
Mm.
And I read a quote the other day, I think it was Charles Stanley said, I'm convinced that life is 10% what happens to me and 90% how I respond to it.
Yeah.
And when we go through difficult times, even we talked about adoption and, you know, we have our own adoption journey, and having the right perspective on life is so important. So I think that's like what he's talking about is, you know, seek the kingdom first and, you know, everything else, God will take care of everything else. Have the right perspective.
Good.
Right. So.
Okay. Good. Right perspective. We're going to take maybe two more on this one and then we're going to move on. On the question of what is it saying?
When I look at the scripture and I think of the word, you know, instead of worry, anxiety. You know, anxiety can literally kill you if you allow it to.
That's right.
And I think that I've had some recent things going on with me, and it's like got just a question that's asked. The question that it's asking right here is, was saying, don't be worried about your life as to what you eat, drink, or for your body as to what you put on. Is not life more than food and body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap, and yet they trust their heavenly Father. And it says, who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? So why are you worried about this and why are you worried about that? And I find the Lord says that to me often when I will get momentarily stressed because I feel like God has brought me to a place where I don't stay in that place long, but when I get momentarily stressed and you think about anxiety, it affects you physically.
Yeah, it does.
It affects you to the place where you're almost paralyzed. And I believe that God is just saying, who of you being worried can add a single hour to his life? And it's coming to the place of accepting something years back when I was in AA, where you would just say, you know, accepting those things that I cannot change, but having wisdom to know what I can and what I cannot change. And I think that's the place that God wants us to get to, that to know that I'm a big God, and there is not a need. If I see the very hairs, and I know the numbers on your head, well, how much more can I just do to meet your need for you? So stop being so anxious all the time.
Good, good. You know what? We're going to move ahead to the next question. What is this scripture not saying? Sometimes you know what a scripture is saying by knowing what it's not saying. Make sense? You're all looking at me like I'm really strange.
Well, it's not, oh, I suppose I should stand. It's not guaranteeing that we're going to have a lot of clothes in our closet or a big car or whatever. It's not saying anything about that.
Right.
So,
Mavis had her hand up, Susie.
To me, it's not saying that everything is going to go perfectly well the rest of your life. Things will happen because this is a fallen world and we don't always do what's best for ourselves and there are consequences. But God is there, and no matter if there's an illness or an accident that's partly or mostly our fault, he doesn't just wash his hands of us. He is still there, he can still be trusted, and he still has the answers.
Good. Anybody else? What is the scripture not saying? James? Oh, back there. I didn't see that hand. Julanne.
I think it's saying there are things that you can do. It's saying don't be anxious. Granted, I can't make my hair brown again. I can't do a lot of things. There are things that we can do. We can pray. We can believe. There are actions that can be taken that can get you out of anxiety. You can serve. There are practical things. You can help someone else. Maybe you can just get off the couch and move forward, take a step. So I don't think it's saying do nothing. It's saying don't worry, but I think there's actions that can be taken that will show your faith.
That's good.
That you really truly trust God.
It's not saying sit back and just, okay, God, meet the needs. You know, I've got a family that's hungry. Just make food appear, right? It's not saying that.
That's what I was hearing too, for what it's not saying. You can't just assume that you're going to do nothing and God's going to just give you everything. The birds don't sit in their nest and wait for God to bring the food to them. They go out and they find it.
That's good.
So we still have to do stuff and go out and do things. God never called us to sit still. So that's when I read that verse, I remember years ago thinking, so I don't have to do anything? No. You still have to do stuff. You still have to get up and take care of yourself.
That's good. Okay. I'm going to move on to another question. You guys are a bunch of preachers. This is really good. I love it. So it's saying don't worry. What I love about a scripture like this, in fact, Philippians 4, whatever it is, 8 or 9, it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and minds. I know that scripture so well because I've prayed it a lot. All right? But what I love about a scripture like this is it gives you permission. See, everything in life tells you that you've got to be responsible here. You know, as a man of the house, when Susie has a problem, I've got to have the answer. And when I don't have a solution for things, I get anxious. And how many of us dads know we don't have the solution for everything? And there are times where we don't have the answer. It's in those times that I have permission to not be anxious. I have permission from my Father in heaven to not worry. I don't know if that's good news to any of you, but to me, it's really, really good news. And to me, it says that I can wait without anxiety and hear the voice of my Father to know what I do. I'm not going to go there. Okay, but here, now the scripture says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you. What does it mean to seek first the kingdom of God? What is it? You've got a 3-year-old, and you want to tell them how to seek the kingdom of God. What are you going to tell them? Yeah, that's the next question. Wes has it over here, too. I can see with wisdom of the ages.
Stand up, keep your eyes on him. Just keep your eyes, your face like a flint on him, and the rest will subside and just go. Yeah.
How do you keep your eyes on something you can't see?
Sometimes
you
turn off the TV.
You can't feel. Pardon me?
I mean, find however you connect with the Trinity, whether it's in worship or reading your Bible in your chair in the corner, a walk in the park, that's wherever you connect, stay connected. Okay. Whatever you're...
Good.
Go to the ocean if you need to, you know?
Yeah, yeah. That gets my vote. Wes over here had his hand up. So what does it mean to seek first the kingdom of God? And how many are successful at that, by the way?
I know, I asked God that a while ago.
Good.
And I said, and my answer is, how come every time you get a headache, you go grab an aspirin first, you don't pray about it first? That's a separation for me. Oh, if you get a headache, why didn't you ask God for healing? That's seeking him first.
Okay.
Instead of seeking the aspirin first. Okay. So to me, seeking him first is actually seeking him first, is actually using him for your answers, using that book that you have that he gave you and wrote out for your answers.
Good.
So get in there and find your answers. What's your question?
So for you, seeking him first is actually seeking him.
Absolutely.
First. Novel idea. Pursuit. There it is. Who else? Brian?
I appreciated what you said, Dave, about the Old Testament and what they were pursuing versus the kingdom of what we're, you know, preaching and teaching about today. And just all the things are really resonating with just the journey that I'm on. And we just got back from a little vacation. We were able to go out to Portland and Vancouver to see Jamie, to see my daughter, and she's doing great. So,
yay.
Amen. But, you know, in my mindset... when I heard the word Vancouver, something just rised up inside of me of like, there's nothing good that can come out of Vancouver, Portland. You know, it was just something that was established in me of being, you know, environmentalist and all these kind of things that kind of again went against my nature of what I thought. But when we were out there, we had a chance to visit a church on Sunday. And it was an amazing body. They love God. They were just pursuing the kingdom.
Yeah.
And I really appreciated the fact that there was a group of people out there in the midst of it, proclaiming the kingdom. Okay. And I think that that's what it means to me, is in the midst of it, what I'm going through, is that I want to proclaim the kingdom because it's what I represent. I want to be that city. I want to be that light that's not covered in the midst of it, you know? So.
Okay. So seek first the kingdom of God. We got Dan back there, has his hand up. Seek first the kingdom of God. I just want to throw a little thing in there. It means to prioritize the things that are on the Father's heart, right? If we're seeking first the kingdom, we're seeking the King of the kingdom, right? And we're seeking the priorities that are on the heart of the King. Go ahead, Dan.
Okay, for me, I feel like one thing that helps me is to envision or think about what new creation will look like when the world is made new and it's under God's rule and reign. And just think of what that will be like and to pull from that reality and start living that way now.
Wow.
And, you know, it won't be perfectly like that because there's this now and not yet dynamic of the kingdom of God not fully realized here on earth yet, but I want to be on a trajectory towards that. And so just looking to the future and then bringing that reality into the now.
Good. So imagining the character and the nature of God and what his kingdom looks like and bringing that into the here and now, right?
Yeah.
Good. I summed that up. I hope I wasn't putting words in you. Rick Keenan back there. He's got his hand up and a waving.
A few years ago, I had a friend that asked me, I was trying to share this verse with him, and he got mad at me because I was telling him to relax and let God handle it. And he's like, "You're just way too laid back." I said, "All right, I'll do you a favor. I'll try to come up with something I can worry about." Right? And I spent 2 days, literally. I called him back. I say, "Can't worry about nothing. There's nothing that God isn't taking care of. Not one thing." And I was like, that was a real eye-opener.
Yeah.
But for me, it's realizing he's the total source. And the time when we think our back's against the wall, we're in the best place we can possibly be, because then we're forced to depend on him instead of us. And the sooner we can quit depending on ourselves, the sooner we get over that, because he'll sit and wait, you know, with a protective hand over us, but he'll sit and wait for us to, "Okay, God, I'm tired of this," and give it to him. Then he comes in like a flood. And when you realize just how precious we are to him and how much he loves us.
Yeah.
And he's just so waiting to come and to show his love to us and to serve us and to be everything.
Yeah.
And then we just turn our back and, "No, I'm going to do this. I'm going to figure this out." And we end up beating our head against the wall. And you know, then people get mad and blame him because this fell apart or that fell. It wasn't his fault. It's just the consequences of us trying to do it ourselves. So that's how, for me, I mean, nothing else makes sense.
So what, in maybe just a few words, does it mean for you to seek first the kingdom of God?
Well,
what does that mean, just in a few words?
The main verse, I'll give you two verses: trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding.
Yeah.
In all your ways acknowledge him. He'll direct your path. I'm getting a little more tactful, but sometimes I'm not. and I'm not, to be honest, I'm not trying that hard.
Me either.
People would be, the truth is the truth. Yeah. People would give me their, "I think we should do this." "I'm sorry, but I'm not concerned about what you think. I'm not concerned about what I think. What I want to know is what God tells us to do.
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and that's lean not on your own understanding.
Yeah.
In all your ways, acknowledge Him. And then when you meet those first three things, the last one is, okay, God, I need some direction, and I don't need it tomorrow or the next day or the next day. I need it right now. Yeah. And He comes in like a flood there too. And that, just wrapping it up, that you know, we're leading thousands and thousands and thousands of people to the Lord. And it just gets bigger and bigger. And it's not about us at all. Yeah. The main secret, the main bottom line is, God, where do you want us to go? What do you want us to do? You're in charge.
So for you, obedience is part of fulfilling
absolutely
this verse.
Absolutely.
Seek first the kingdom of God
absolutely
demands some obedience.
And if you don't, good, and if you don't bother.
Okay.
You know, if you're not going to obey, why bother? And okay. Yeah.
Good. Thank you. I'm going one more, real quick. All the way, Susie, from that corner, all the way. Run, Susie, run. Yeah.
Getting ready for the microphone.
Yeah. Usually I'm long-winded and talk a lot, but mine is one word, submission.
Submission. Good. Okay. I want to move on, and I want to read what Tom read this morning. It's down in verse 7 of chapter 7, and we're going to wind this up. Good. How many have appreciated everybody that's just shared the things? But here's the deal. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be open to you. And I had written there that the kingdom of God is pursuing the priorities of God. Pursuing, you know, just what Tom said. It's a pursuit of the priorities, the things that are on the king's heart. Everyone who asks, receive. He who seeks, finds. To him who knocks, it will be opened. When we first got saved and people were trying to convince me of my salvation, they quoted that scripture and they said, well, Dave, if you ask, if you seek and you knock, it's guaranteed that God is going to meet you. He is going to bring to you that which you're looking for, that which you need. And I don't know if it was the simplicity of that promise that really guaranteed me that I didn't have to keep asking God for salvation because He had met me. I didn't have to keep asking Him for the forgiveness of my sins because He forgave my sins. I didn't have to keep asking that I would be a child of God because I was a child of God. See, because it's a promise. It says, or what man is there among you who if his son asks for bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask Him? Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Why did He have to throw that in there? Why did He have to go and muddle and talk about the way I treat people is the way that I'm going to be treated? Or up above there it says, judge not that you be not judged, because with the same measure that you judge, it's going to be measured back to you. Why is Jesus muddling with us, messing with us, and putting those kinds of things in the middle of all these wonderful and precious promises? You know, I want to suggest to you, I've said this to people before, you know, there are a lot of believers walking around right now with big targets on their back. They have judged everything from our president to rap singers to, you know, other religious leaders. And we think that in this pursuit of the kingdom of God, I'm doing God a favor by calling out other people's sin. That's not the pursuit of the kingdom. In fact, when I pursue the kingdom like that, where I am judging other people, all of a sudden there is a big target drawn on my back. And I wonder why people are judging me. I wonder why people are critical of me. It's because in this kingdom, in this unseen kingdom, in this thing of relationship with pursuing the kingdom, there are some dynamics, some spiritual forces that are in play that we need to pay attention to. And we need to understand that the way I want somebody else to treat me, I need to treat them. That I can't treat my wife with disdain and expect her to honor me. See, I can't just say, oh, well, the orphans aren't my problem. I don't have anything to do with the orphans. I'll just ignore that. And then we wonder why we have an orphan heart. Seek first the kingdom of God. That means the ways of the king. And the ways of the kingdom are ways that we are invited to walk in so that we can have freedom and liberty. See, if we don't know how to walk in the ways of God, we're not going to figure out how to live in the kingdom of God. So Jesus just cites two examples there that are very, very telling. I don't know about you, but that convicts me. That I can knock, seek, ask, and do all of those things, but if I am violating certain dynamics of the kingdom of God, then God is going to say, take care. He'll answer. He will always answer prayer. And he'll probably tell me, make things right with your wife. Make things right with that person that you violated. See? Seek first the kingdom of God. Don't give worry. Don't give anxiety for anything. But I tell you, there is a life of anxious-free living that we need to cooperate with. And that's why repentance is such an amazing grace. Amazing grace. The fact that when I blow it, when I have judged somebody, then I can, before God, in seeking the kingdom of God, I can say, oh God, would you please forgive me? I treated one of your precious ones with a disdain that they didn't deserve. See, the ways of the king are what we're really looking at here is Jesus was preaching a kingdom that people didn't have a clue how to walk in it. They were used to following all the law, all the prophets, doing all the things that they had to do. And now Jesus is coming and preaching a kingdom that, you know what? He expected people to discern. They were words of life. Jesus was always saying weird things, wasn't he? Except you eat my body and drink my blood, you can't have any part of me. How many of you would have hung around him after that? You know? And yet, there were some that said, I don't get what you just said, but I know it carried life. Jesus talked in parables about his kingdom so that those who would have ears would hear. The gift of discernment, this grace of discernment, is something that the body of Christ must walk in. A few months back, the Lord told me, he says, Dave, deception is so rampant in your nation, the only way you're going to know truth is through the gift of discernment. So I realized that I don't have to worry about CNN and Fox and all the news stations. Be anxious for nothing. I found out that, oh my, I can be irresponsible about the news. Now, I know what's going on and I pray into it. Please hear me. But I found out I didn't have to be anxious about that. And that I can discern truth beyond all the fake news that's flying around. See, to have a life that is worry-free means that we're living from a kingdom, from the dynamics of a kingdom. And we're all invited into that. Amen. Isn't that good news? Yeah. Our time is up. You guys did an amazing job preaching. Wow. We want to invite you to go out to the Real Hope table and visit them out there. There's going to be coffee out in the lobby. Please love on one another. Give somebody a hug. Let's stand together. We will have prayer teams up here. If you need prayer for anything, come on up. I believe, Tim, you had a word of knowledge that you didn't share publicly, but about hips. Hips and an ear. So if you have problems with your hips, pain in your hips, ears that you need touched for hearing, and Tim and Amy are actually on the prayer team, one of the this morning. So come on up and receive prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, I bless this body. I bless this congregation. Father, I bless them with the knowledge of your ways. God, the ways of the kingdom, the ways of seeking first you and your kingdom, and the righteous ways of your kingdom. Lord, that all of these things that we need in life will be added. Lord, that you give wisdom to gain and to build. Lord, that you give wisdom in how to steward finances and all of those things that we need. So, Father, I want to thank you for this body. Bless each one in Jesus' name. Amen.